Great to be here. Any of you who haven't had the good fortune to read my book, Essence, the Manifesto of Jesus, he says modestly, there's a few over the back there. I think the last time I was in this room, I was launching it, and I know that those of you that have done Ignite have been inflicted with it, but for £5, it's great. If you want to find out, you know, when Jesus came, what was his core manifesto? What was right at the core? What's right at the heart of Jesus' message? And therefore, what should be right at the heart of our lives and lifestyle? And I think that's embodied in Luke chapter 4, 17 to 21. And that's basically what this book is all about. As Graham Cray said, the book's great, the stories in it are even better. So there we go. I don't know what that says about my writing, but... entertaining, yeah, well, that's, we all know, you know, that could be worse, it could be not entertaining. So, hearing God, simple but complicated. We worship a God who reveals himself. The whole of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it represents the heart of a God whose desire and whose longing is to be known, to be revealed. And so when we come to Christ and when we get to know God, we're worshiping a God who's not, in a sense, vague, disparate, set apart, disinterested. We worship a God who has a track record of revealing himself, a God who desires to speak. I find the Genesis story particularly fascinating, that in the beginning, however you look at it, typologically or allegorically or as a story. But right at the core of the story is this incredible relationship that God has with human beings. And right there we see that God has a propensity to incarnate himself. So right at the beginning in Genesis, you see Adam walking in the garden and talking face to face with God. And God appears to him like a human being. Of course, all the way through the Old Testament, there are times where God reveals himself in that kind of way, which culminates in Jesus, who comes as flesh and blood. But can you imagine what that's like? You know, before sin entered the world, before imperfection came into the world, you can imagine what highly evolved human beings Adam was. Because he's sitting there having a conversation face to face with God. I mean, I wonder, could he walk through walls? Could he swing on the tree? Whatever. He's obviously psychically and spiritually evolved to a level that we're not, because we can't kind of see God face to face and have an ongoing conversation in a really easy, natural way. But here we see humanity, before sin came in, before darkness came in, before our understanding was darkened, you see this intimacy that humanity had with God. Unbelievable. And they talked together. Now, how exciting is that? Is that there will come a day. Paul says, now we see through a mirror dimly. Yes, God speaks. God speaks, 1 Corinthians 13. God speaks through all the gifts. God speaks through prophetic. God speaks through all the things I'm going to share with you about today. But it is kind of like through a mirror dimly. And their mirrors weren't as good as ours today in Paul's time. So there is a little bit of, you know, but then we will see face to face. So we're talking about hearing God today, but we're realistic. We realize that we do see through a mirror dimly. We are subject to our own preferences and our own failures and our own head noise. And we grow in God. We learn how to hear God. But there will come a day when we will see God face to face. But in the meantime, we are on this wonderful journey worshiping a God who delights to speak to us. And in the Old Testament, the prophet says this. He says, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least to the greatest. And part of knowing somebody is that assurance of communication. Right at the heart. And all of us, no matter how new we are to the faith, or maybe you're here as a guest and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian today. God is probably still already speaking to you, probably has been, and probably will continue to do if you hang around him long enough or make yourself available. Those of us who've been walking the Lord with the Lord for years, there's still so much to learn about hearing God and how to hear God. And I love the story at the beginning of 1 Samuel, where Samuel, who's a young boy, miraculous birth, he's given to Eli at the temple as a servant, and the Lord begins to speak to him. And, you know, he wakes up in the middle of the night, you know, he hears this voice, wakes up in the middle of the night, goes through, wakes Eli up and says, "What are you saying?" And Eli says, "I haven't said anything. Go back to bed, you twit." You know, and then so, you know, he's back, he wakes up again, you know, goes through to Eli, "Eli, what was it you said?" He goes, "I didn't speak." And obviously, Eli was a little bit dense as well. I mean, he's supposed to be the mentor in this situation. Of course, it happens the third time, and Eli thinks, "Oh, maybe this is the Lord." So he says, "Well, okay, next time you hear the voice, just say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening,' and then see what happens." And Samuel gets his first prophecy, which virtually undermines the whole of the prophet. I mean, unbelievable prophet. What I like about that first prophecy is God says to him, "I'm going to say something to you that when you share it, it's going to make everybody's ears tingle." Woo, imagine that, you know, when someone tells you something, you go, "Woo, oh my word." And that's what happens when God speaks. God's word has a powerful impact on our lives. It sets our senses alight, and God speaks through our senses. So we're going to have a go at listening a little later, but before we listen and God speaks to us, let's ask, you know, how does God speak? What are the means through which God speaks? Well, I love that. That's a place called Brandy Hole Copse, near Chichester. Some of you can see that. See those beautiful trees set on top of a hill, lots of water erosion. So these trees are strong, these trees are big, but their roots on one side are incredibly exposed. What would the Lord say to you about that? I sat there, took the photo of that, it was freezing cold on that day. I just looked at them, absolutely transfixed, because God speaks through creation. The heavens, the psalmist says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Even as the wind bristles through the branches of that willow there, so the Holy Spirit gently blows through humanity. As you walk through the center of the town, you see 1,000 people with 1,000 voices. The Spirit of God blows across them, moves across them. And we see much of God devotionally as we look at the creation around. The Psalms are full of that. The great scientist Francis Bacon says, you know, basically there are two books. There is the book of nature, and there is the book of God's word. One takes one angle and one takes the other angle. But if we find out, we want to find out more about God, we need to learn how to hear from the creation around, how to hear God's voice, scripture and nature. And when I handed over Revelation Church to Dan Slatter, a younger guy, who's doing a great job, and handed Fusion over, my father came to live with us. He was dying of cancer. If I'd have had time, I could have had a midlife crisis. But I thought, you know, rather than have a midlife crisis, I'll get myself a spiritual director. And so one of the things, the difference between coaching and mentoring and spiritual direction is what the spiritual director just says is, listen to God, listen to God, listen to God. I mean, basically, they're lazy. They don't do anything. It's useless. I think, grief, I'm paying for this. All he's saying is, listen to God. I could have done that myself. You know, no. But what he did was he taught me how to, I'm an activist. I'm always on the go. And he said, Roger, you need to learn to look. And I was spending some time in my garden, and it was the summer, and I came round the corner, and the plum tree was, "Oh, God, I've got so much fruit, I'm in pain." Oh! You know, the branches were like absolutely right over, full of plums. And as I came around the corner, I took one look at it, and God said, and that's why a lot of people don't want to be fruitful. Because it's painful. They'd rather stay in winter than go through that. Because fruitfulness is challenging. Fruitfulness is painful. But fruitfulness is the happy and natural result of every human being's life. You are called to be fruitful for my kingdom. So God speaks. God speaks through the creation around. Paul in Romans 1 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Paul basically says, you know, creation is the great apologist. Obviously, the full revelation of who God is comes in Christ. But creation is the great apologist. And the deeper we go within science and biology and all psychology, and when the more we understand about human nature and the human, all of that kind of stuff, it's an apologist, an apologia for God's existence and for God's glory. And Paul says, within the order of creation, something about God's essential nature is revealed. So God speaks through creation. So get out there. If you live in a city, get yourself a window box. Do something to connect with the world that God has made. You know, the Celts, Celtic spirituality, are Aboriginal descendants, the first church in this nation. They were into all of that dimension. God speaking. God also speaks through the Bible. I love that image. I don't know what it says to you. There's a very, very used book there. Speaks of a life well lived, a life lived for a very long time, following God, depending on God. You see the wedding ring there. Faithfulness. Faithfulness in relationships, faithfulness of God. You could go wild on that, couldn't you? If you look. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, look, the Bible is our Google. What do you do? You know, how do I plant a tree? Go to Google. You know, my light bulb's gone. Which one did it? Go to Google. You know, everything we do, we go to Google. You know, it's a waste of time going anywhere else, isn't it? Or whatever. There are other search engines, obviously. But the Bible is our Google. The Bible is our GPS. The Bible is our encyclopedia. The Bible is our thesaurus. You know, if the Holy Spirit comes and wants to do a few things, and if God's going to speak, what sort of, you know, if he's got a little bit of raw material to build on, it's, you know, if God wants to cook an omelette, he needs a few ingredients, doesn't he? And the more ingredients you've got in your life, the better of an omelette you're going to get. You know, it's like trying to prophesy out of nothing, isn't it? You know, all you've done is looked at a couple of trees and, you know, watched Bruce Almighty, and got a few positive feelings about the Lord's love. You know, your prophecies are generally speaking going to be pretty sort of shallow, aren't they, really? You know. But if you've actually understands God's word, it's almost like God has got this incredible filing cabinet sitting there. He's thinking, well, you know, I've got a few words I'd like to give to people, but when I go to old Fred, I know that I can draw this out of the Old Testament, this out of the New Testament, this biblical work. I could do this, I can do that. I've got a lot I could do. And so he's sort of poof, 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 you know. It's like that, isn't it? And if when you study the Bible for a while and you got a bit excited about it, you know, the Lord speaks to you about love. Before you know it, you've got this verse, going to this verse, and oh, I could go there, this book, you get your concordance out, and you're kabang, 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 all the way through. Because that's how exciting the Bible is, how exciting Scripture is. And God loves to use his word as the lamp for my feet and the light to my path. I kind of like that. You know, kind of like just enough to kind of see the next step. Not too much. You know, if God really told you everything that was going to happen and exactly where you were going, you might not set out on the path. And so, you know, just withholding a little bit of healthy information is probably good for us to get us going. But do you know what? We don't need to worry. He will always be there. He will always show us the way forward. James 1:25, whoever looks intently to the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what they do. And so God's blessing, God's voice, scripture, really simple stuff, isn't it? Oh, it's so simple. It's wonderful, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, how does God speak? God speaks through the Spirit. You could take any image, for lots of oil, fire, there's all kinds of biblical imagery. God uses imagery and metaphor. God speaks to the prophets in all sorts of different ways. We're going to see that later. But that's the whole work of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:25, Jesus says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is that reminder. I don't know how you remind yourself. Everything that my wife tells me, I usually forget. No. And she says to me, Roger, what did I just say to you? I could see you deleting it as I said it to you. And I said, well, to be bluntly, it was non-essential information. I've only got limited amount of space on my hard drive. It has to come through and out the other end very quickly. So I have to put it as a reminder in my phone. That's the way my life works. Everything's got a reminder. Ding, 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 ding. And, you know, and Margaret has her own sound, you know. You know. Okay, yeah, that's Margaret's sound on my phone. I'm being summoned, whatever, you know, it's that kind of feeling. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is, he reminds us of every, just in case we forget, which we do, he is continually reminding us and prompting us and speaking to us. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so the Holy Spirit actually doesn't just remind us, he prompts us and directs us. So it's important for us to be filled with the Spirit, to go on being filled with the Spirit, and to have the anticipation that God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to be reminding you, prompting you, and directing you continually. I mean, an example of this, I was at the 24/7 conference in Madrid a while back, and it was one of those times in the meeting, you know, get into groups and pray together, and I was quite bored at that particular time. I confess to boredom in a meeting. I won't say hands up anybody who's been bored in a meeting, but you know, I was bored. But anyway, so people were getting in groups, and I think, I really fancy all of this, and I just sat there and I looked at this married couple in the corner, Pete Portal and his wife, whose name temporarily escapes me, but they work in Manenberg, a township in South Africa, and it is the second highest murder capital in the world. I mean, you know, it is, you know, bullets all around the prayer room. It's, you know, it is a very difficult place. You know, and there, as a couple, they're living in that place, praying in that place, doing mission in that place. And I was just watching them as a couple praying for each other, and it's quite nice. You know, as a couple, I was quite enjoying watching them. I was less bored now, And then I just felt God said to me, go and get in on the act. You know, I'm thinking, you know, husband and wife praying. And okay, fine. So I thought, well, I'll go over there and see what happens. Because usually God doesn't say, go over there and do this. Usually he says, go over there. And then when you get there, you find out what the next stage is. Anyway, I get there, sat down. So I said, well, what are you praying about? And they were praying for him. He had a mystery stomach illness. That they couldn't diagnose, they couldn't do anything, they couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And I said, oh, I know why I'm here. That's not a sickness, that's PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder. How do I know that? Well, because my wife is an expert in it, and I just have to sit there listening about it. So may I suggest that you book up to talk to my wife, and she talks to you about what's happening in your body, because this isn't a spiritual thing. This is something that's to do with all the stress that you're living in. And so that was all I was there for. You know, I thought I was going to pray. I connected them up with Margaret. They have 2 hours together. She's talking to them how to get out of stress, how to deal with trauma, how to self-regulate, how to all that kind of stuff that the shrinky dinkies can teach you. And, you know, and fortunately, I didn't have to listen to that. I could go off and have a nice coffee. But so I was sitting there bored, but I was available. I was available. And half of it is just being available. I mean, you don't have to be clever. You don't have to be spiritual to hear God. You just have to be available. You just have to be switched on. Do you know what I mean? You can't, the telly can't be turned on if it's not plugged in with some electricity. You just need to be, you know, plugged in, just ready. Let God speak to you. So the Holy Spirit, and God also speaks through people. There we are, handing over the church, people gathering around us. There's Dan with his back to us, who now leads the church. Julian Richards, who you may know. I think he's been here, hasn't he? And others praying and speaking into our hearts and into our lives. And, you know, Paul in Romans 10 says, how can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how they can they believe in the one that they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? God has sent us and wants to communicate. In Acts 9, you have this scenario, don't you, where God says to Ananias, look, there's this mush Saul, and I've blinded him, I've got hold of him, I'm going to use him to reach the Gentiles. I'd like you to pop round, if you would, and just lay hands on him and give him a little message, tell him that, you know, he'll get better, and it's all part of that. Ananias says, not on your net. He said to him, have you seen what that Paul's like? I just think probably God had, don't you? I mean, you know, this murderous maniac. And you're sending me round there. And but Paul needed Ananias. He was blind. And he needed to be grafted into the church big time. And so he needed to be shown that he was dependent on that. And so God sent the twitching and frightened Ananias round, and the rest is history. So God speaks through people, through the Spirit, through Scripture, and through creation. But how do we perceive God? How do we perceive? We perceive, I think, some of us, through hearing. In Acts chapter 9, Paul hears God speak to him. Those around don't hear, they just hear a noise. But Paul hears a specific voice. Sometimes we hear like an inner voice. I was at there when I was at this conference in Madrid, I heard an inner voice say to me that the spirit of the Apostle Paul was about to be poured out on the Middle East. What happened next, I won't go into. But it was quite a prophetic word about the whole inference. There's lots of inferences. I mean, I've heard since that the inference was ISIS, major converts at a high level, you know, apostolic movement in that whole field and whatever. It was a crazy thing. I hear that there are very high up people, or one, at least one high up person who's been on the internet in Arabic for 3 hours talking about his conversion to Christ and saying he feels like he was Paul on the Damascus Road, which is a literal excerpt from the prophecy. And of course, there's all sorts of stuff going on out there. God speaks, and we just need to learn to be still and still all the other voices, insecurity, fear, doubt, whatever, stress, still all those things. And then just see if God might speak to us. We did a little meditation in our cell group. Some of you might want to do that, where we turn the light off and we put a big candle in the center of the room And we just say to people, you know, Christian meditation is not about emptiness, it's about fullness. Just look at the light, think of Jesus, look at the light, think of Jesus. And when you have a thought about the cooking come, don't think, oh, for condemned. Just let that fade into the background. Keep looking at the light, thinking of Jesus, looking at the light, thinking of Jesus. And after 10, 15 minutes, see what the Lord says. And it was absolutely amazing. You might want to try that in your cell groups this week. If your cell group leader, you'd like to, a bit more advice on it, I can talk to you about that. So here, look at that. Look at that. Look at that picture. That's my phone going off. That's my 12 o'clock Lord's Prayer reminder. We all pray the Lord's Prayer together in 24/7 at 12 o'clock. So it reminds me every day. Doesn't that suck you through that entrance? It's at Amberley Castle, that is, isn't it? What does it say? Some of you might hear. We also see. You know, scripture full of seeing. As a prophet, what do you see? Again, when I was at that conference, I saw a picture of a black horse rearing. And as I looked at this picture, I felt God say to me, walk towards it. And as I walked, I wasn't literally walking towards it. As I went towards it, I got to it, and it was a simulator. And because if someone was breaking this horse, and the person got up and walked off, and I got, there's a simulator. And God said, look, 24/7 has just been playing with the simulator right now. I'm going to use you. I'm really going to use you. Now, the amazing thing was, we'd just been talking about our conference next year, which is in Vienna, hosted by the Catholic Church there, which is going to be pretty wild. And we've been talking about Vienna. And the next day, these all over the front of the Times were these pictures of these black horses rearing up, which apparently is a really famous statue in Vienna. I'm like, that's interesting, isn't it? So, see. What do you see? That's Barcelona. I saw that and thought, see, a lot of people look at that. Not many people see the scales, but, you know, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you see? Feelings. My favourite picture of my wife. Feelings. Obviously feeling very cheeky. Anybody who knows her, that's a fair representation of her personality. And, you know, sometimes God speaks through feelings, the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of them are emotionally kind of, they're rooted in the emotions. We talked about the scripture earlier. These people aren't drunk. Clearly, there was a heightened sense of something or other, because if they weren't drunk, they were a little bit, weren't they? You know, God had done something, and there was an emotional dimension. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus was angry. Sometimes we feel something before we think it and before we hear it, depending on who you are, of course. Some of us are very unlikely to feel anything first. We're much more likely to think it. Others of us don't even know whether we're thinking or seeing. It's just happening. That's absolutely fine. And some of us are doing so much analysis, we can't work out which one it is that's happening. God can even speak to you as well. So if we can get our emotions unblocked and get our emotions possessed, self-possessed, self-control, we're in the business of hearing. You know, sometimes, when my father died, you know, I'm not a great one for crying. I mean, I did have a little bit of it, but it's not my scene. Do you know what I mean? I get frustrated. I get this. I get that. You know, I don't do that kind of thing. I probably could do with doing more, according to my wife, in shrinky-dinky mode. But you know, when I get up and I read scripture and I see things, I'm very regularly moved to tears. Because God, move me. The Holy Spirit moves. Well, what does he move? He moves our body, our emotions. He moves us. So that's feelings. Let's not be afraid of them. Lastly, thinking. What do you think? We went for a Margaret's sort of bucket dream type thing to the Grand Canyon. We had the misfortune of spending two nights in Las Vegas. Absolute nightmare. You know, obviously it's a city built on prostitution, gambling and fine dining and top performances. But, you know, apart from that, it's not got a lot to say to it. So this is this amazing hotel that we were in. This is about 9 o'clock in the morning. It's breakfast time. They're already gambling their heads off and drinking like whatever. And this guy is playing the piano. And there, it's right next to the foyer. There are hundreds of people just walking past. Just a stream of people going into the gambling, in and out, in and out, in and out. We're walking out. I said to Margaret, get me out of this place. I don't know where I thought it was going to go, because you get outside, it's just as bad as inside. But anyway, I get, and she said, listen to that music. Listen to that music. Come on, I want to listen. I want to listen. So anyway, we were sitting there. We're the only two sitting in there. And this guy was amazing. And at the end of the first song, we applauded. And he said, somebody's listening. And you know what? God said to me, I'm playing a beautiful tune in this place and in this world. And you know what? Nobody's listening. I sit here all the time and people just walk by. I'm speaking to them. Beautiful tunes, beautiful melodies, but nobody's listening. And we just sat there and he said to us, what do you want me to play? And we just gave him request after request after request. That got my brain going, thinking, what is God saying? So, we're going to do a little bit of this. So, remember, what are you here? What comes into your mind? So it's like the word of knowledge, isn't it? People say with the word of knowledge, you know, the first thing that comes into your mind is the word of knowledge. The second thing is a doubt. That's how you know it's of the Lord. That's what a lot of people say, though, don't they? So what are you here? What do you see? What do you feel? What do you think? So I want you as individuals just to relax for 2 or 3 minutes. And you can choose any one of these images. You can choose the Amberley House open door, the Brandy Hole Cops routes, or the Barcelona Market. And just reflect and say, Lord, what are you saying through this? So let's do that just for 2 or 3 minutes. And then I'm going to take some feedback for those who would like to share what they've heard. So Lord, open our ears. Open our eyes. Release our feelings. And speak through our thinking, we ask. Amen. Okay. Any takers? What did you hear? What did you see? What did you feel? What did you think? There's one over the back. Yeah. Oh, go here first.
I was looking at the fruit, and that's what feeds us. And I thought that that's the physical thing, and we get that by simply going and paying, and we pay these days with money. But also, God's fruit we get by going and paying. And the price is simply saying, I believe, I follow. And so it struck me that that picture just meant for me grace, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense.
Excellent. Over here.
Well, I'm an artist, and looking at the Barcelona picture, there's more colour than you could ever see anywhere. There's more colour.
Wonderful. Any other? We've got one here.
I've not got a very good voice, so be patient. But it reminds me of a song we sang. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and tell him I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and teach me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. It takes me back 40 years, and I used to cry every time I heard it.
Wonderful. God triggers memories often. We go on here, yeah?
I took the first picture, and it was almost what you were saying earlier. The Lord gives us glimpses of things. You just see past, and as you go through, he gives you more. And you can see more.
I saw that same picture, and the door is, it couldn't be open further. That's what I noticed.
When God opens a door, he owns a door.
Well, I think I'm naturally inquisitive, and just seeing the archway, I just couldn't resist going through and seeing what's the other side.
That naughty invitation.
Yeah, I wasn't actually looking at those pictures, Roger, but immediately God took me into a sports stadium. It was a picture, and there was an activity going on. I'd like to think it was England-Ireland, but it wasn't. It was just a sports thing going on. But all of the crowd were looking outwards. They were facing the wrong way. And I said, "What's this, Lord?" And he said, "Well, it's sometimes how I feel about the church, that the real stuff that's going on in the world, that so often the church turns its back and it can't see what's going on."
Thank you.
Okay. For me, when I looked at it, I just observed that at the beginning, they seem to have some gravel and then some slabs. And as you go further, it becomes green and open and more light. And I'm thinking, Lord is speaking to somebody here. And their journey is just like that.
Mm. Wonderful. It's great, isn't it? Right, we're going to have two more and then we're...
I just had a picture and the word petals, and I believe the Lord is saying that we are all his flowers in his garden, and when we're under the sun, as you know, a flower closes up at night when it's dark, but it always opens out to the sun, and I feel the Lord is saying, open your hearts to me, and I will satisfy you with the richest of fare.
Now, obviously, you are a church that many of you have walked the Lord many years. You've got a history of the prophetic and hearing God's voice. But a lot of this is really everyday stuff, isn't it? It's God, you know, it's God in my sleeping, God in my waking, God in my working, God in my sleeping, God in my cooking, God in my... And actually, if we just open and realize that we are in this ongoing connection, relationship with God, suddenly... hearing God doesn't become this big, complicated thing. Okay, one last thing we're going to try, because the children are not back yet. Look at this psalm. I love this psalm. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. So, what do you hear? What do you see? What do you feel? What do you think? We're just going to have 2 minutes on that, and then I'm going to invite you to get into groups of 2 to 4. And you don't have to say anything if you don't want to, but... perhaps to share a little bit of what you hear, see, feel, and think, and then maybe pray with each other. And then we'll see where we're at time-wise. Just 1 or 2 minutes. Just a little tip that sometimes when you read Scripture, it's just one word. Whoops, what have I done? Oh, it's been back. It's time to collect your children. Sorry about that. So, cut them on it. So sometimes... it's just one word. Other times it's a feeling, whatever. Okay, just another 60 seconds and then we'll get into groups. You could meditate on this. This would be a great small group activity. Go and walk in the woods for an hour, meditating on this, and then come back and hear what everybody has heard from God. Unbelievable what would happen. Okay, let's get into groups and... collect our children. let's just communicate some stuff around this. 2s to 4s. You can hear, you can see, you can feel, you can think. Okay, let's just draw our conversations in. You remember the prophecy around and about the fulfillment of Joel 2, about the last days when God's Spirit is poured out upon all people, both men and women. And sons and daughters prophesy, and old men dream dreams, and even on your servants, both men and women, that God's Spirit is poured out and God speaks. And I think his encouragement to each of us is to continue to walk in him, to continue to walk and to continue to listen and to continue to reflect and continue to pray. And, you know, God speaks, as I've said, through the things that we hear, through the things that we see, the things we feel, and the things that we think, speaks through our minds. And it speaks through all the stuff that's around us. And he's given us scripture as the bed and banks to keep us on course. And he's put people around us too, who are kind of like our committee, who help point us and guide us and reflect back to us. Is that really what God's saying? Maybe he's saying something else. And God has given us community so that we can hear his voice and keep walking in the right direction. And so let's do that. Because God, the reason Jesus died upon the cross and rose again from the dead is that we may be born from above, that we might encounter new birth, that we would be saved, that all of the bad stuff would be broken away, but that we would be opened up to this place where we are alive spiritually. And we're able to connect and to talk with God. And we all know everything comes out of his presence. And there's no situation, no place that you will ever find yourself in where God is unable to speak. Sometimes he speaks through silence. He speaks through not speaking. Other times he speaks through saying an awful lot. But he's always there. And so there we go. So Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your life. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that you are for us. And I pray for everybody here, whether we are a mixture in the way that we hear you, or whether that we think differently, or we're creative, or we're visionary, however we work, Lord, I ask that we will be walking deeper in you. And I pray for certain people here that you'll be plugging them in a new way after this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen.